0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards the start of the new league season in Scotland. Celtic break their transfer record by signing Casper Hugh for £11 million. Rangers close in on defensive reinforcements in the form of Olethu Makanya, and Hearts are in Euro qualification action looking to overturn a 4-0 deficit from the first leg. I'm Gordon Duncan. We're back until 8 o'clock. 2 hours, two pundits, Killian Sheridan and Gordon Deal.
Yeah, great to be back. Looking forward to the new season. Obviously, transfer window still open. Celtic breaking that record, bringing in a centre forward. I think for Celtic fans, that's a good sign. They were desperate for players to come in, and I think there'll be more to follow. You look across the road, Rangers doing good business, Hearts, Aberdeen, a lot of signings, Motherwell as well, a lot of changes. It all kicks off at Tannadice on Friday night, and I'm really looking forward to weekend football in action.
Yeah, I think Celtic fans probably were getting a little bit nervous with all the signings all the other teams around them were doing. So I think these are the kind of statement signings that a lot of fans have been crying out for. And Casper Hoy looks like could be a really good fit for Celtic. I think it looks like a proper number nine they've got in. And it's just, I think there's probably going to be more outgoings from them. So it looks like it's going to be, I think this is going to be the start of quite a busy summer.
Come on then, 01419511025. Get your calls in, let us know what is on your mind tonight, and we'll work through as much of it as we can between now and 8 o'clock. As we alluded to, a massive challenge for Hearts to overcome that 4-0 deficit against Sturm Graz from the first leg. They've got home comforts. They didn't even play terribly at times, despite what the scoreline suggests. There maybe were things that give the Hearts fans a tiny bit of optimism, but that is some job to be done tonight, so we'll get to them. But Hearts fans, if you've any thoughts, please do get your calls in. The transfer window dominates as always, and a particularly big one, Celtic breaking their transfer record. What do you make of that, Celtic fans? How pleased or otherwise are you with the signing? How good a player do you think he's going to be? How important do you think it will be on the pitch? And what about the statement then from the club? Because there's been so much debate and criticism of not spending enough or not bringing in enough players. Clearly still work to be done, but how far does a transfer record signing go to making you feel a little bit better about the summer transfer business? Do get your calls in, please. Rangers fans, it looks like defensive reinforcements could be on the way, and it also looks like Derek McInnes will be in the dugout at Tannadice on Friday, despite being issued with that ban last week. Rangers, it looks like, will appeal the decision, therefore allowing him at the moment to take his place in the dugout. Anything else out there at all, we are here for you. The transfer window's open, which means fans of all clubs are more than welcome to get involved. Give us a call and let us know what you think your club needs to do in the next couple of weeks. Same number as always, 0141 951 1025. How have you been? Good summer?
Yeah, quiet. Took up a new sport. Obviously, I'm struggling with my hip, trying to get my hip sorted. So golf was,
Have you not played any golf over this summer?
I've not played 18 holes of golf. I've dragged my leg around about 12, 13 holes maximum. But I took up a new sport. Just walking by apart, seen six guys playing this. It's called cornhole. Have you heard of it?
I am familiar with the concept.
Yeah. Stopped, had a look. Brilliant guys. They were very, very good professionals, these boys, right?
Hold on a wee second. Motherwell's changed since I left, if people are playing cornhole in the local parks.
And yeah, also professional.
Well, they played through COVID and everything. They've had their own boards and everything.
See, this is going on in a park in Motherwell.
Yeah, I walked by, seen the lads, stopped, and I thought to myself, I'm having a bit of that. And before I knew it, I was a skipper, probably ranked number one in the squad. And I've got to say, it's in America. You must have played it in the World Cup, but you know, would the boys
actually
not play it over there?
I did play it over there.
It's fantastic.
It is good. I've got a wee one in the house now that you mentioned.
Have you? Well,
I'll get you one for the living room.
I'm going to get the boards built. Right. I'm going to take up serious, and I'm in now in the team.
Honestly, it was my fault. I asked how his summer was. I just expected, you know, when you ask somebody that, you're just meant to say,
Yeah, it was great. Thanks.
It was great. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Let's crack on with the show. Gordon Dale, cornhole expert. Sometimes they write themselves. 0141 951 1025. I'm not asking how your summer was, because in your own way, you're as bizarre as him, but just in different ways. So I don't know what hobby you'll have taken up. The piano's still going strong?
Piano's going strong. Stronger, I would say.
Glad to hear it. 0141 951 1025. This is good though, isn't it? I mean, it's always a getting interrupted slightly. In a good way. Hearts are in qualification action. I was along at Firth Park. Didn't see you, funnily enough, last Thursday for the qualifier. The League Cup group stage is complete. But how good is this?
He was in the park.
Oh, of Cornwall. So the build up to the first weekend of the league season, yeah, especially coming off the back of just how incredible last season was.
Yeah, it is, because last season was incredible, as you quite rightly said, Gordon. And then you've got the World Cup in between, which now seems about 6 months ago. Well, obviously you were over there for a long time with the Scotland squad, a fantastic trip. And then obviously the Premier Sports Cup kicked in. A lot of good results, a lot of teams taking the eye. Mull team, Ayr United, absolutely brilliant results that they're getting. You look at teams that are really, really struggling. St Johnston just promoted, didn't make it into the last 16. There's one or two there as well. Falkirk, who were brilliant last year, got to semi-final of the Scottish Cup. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But I'm really looking forward to the kick-off, because it's staggered this weekend, which is... I'm not a great fan of the football being staggered, right? I'm a traditional Saturday. I know that TV rights and everything kick in.
You kick off your cornhole at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah, basically. So you've got a Friday night game, and obviously Celtic champions last year, they kick off their campaign on Monday. Mother will go through Easter Road live on TV. I think there's a lot of exciting games. And you look down the leagues, and even in the Championship as well, some cracking fixtures, really got to be competitive. And I think it'll be very hard to predict who's got to come out on top this season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to finding out, and we're not too far away from it all starting. So get the calls in, 0141 951 1025. As we said all week, if you've got general thoughts on the season and where it's going to go and how your team's shaping up, we'd absolutely love to have it. But specifically today, we've got some big breaking news as well, don't we? Celtic breaking their transfer record, over £11 million for a new number nine. And I think, unfortunately, on shows like this, the only thing that's a guarantee, I don't know how many goals he'll score, but what's a guarantee is that his name is going to be butchered left, right and centre from pundits, presenters and callers alike. We had varying opinions on it last night. All of them were wrong, because the man himself has cleared it up. I think that's the right phrase, when he spoke to Celtic's in-house media a bit earlier on. So we're going to need to listen to this, memorise it and just go for it. Say it with enough conviction.
Okay.
I'm Kasper Hu, and I'm a Celt.
Kasper Hu? Simple as
Kasper
that.
Who?
Kasper Hu?
That's
Kasper
Hu. That's what it's saying. Is that what it is, Kasper Hu?
Let's hear it again.
I'm Kasper Hu, and I'm a Celt.
Yeah.
You going with that, Kasper Hu?
Exactly.
Knock, as in knock knock, sort
of. And when he turns up at the doctor's, it's got to be a good one. Listen, he's pronounced it. We're going with that, Kasper Hu.
Oh, it's going to be difficult.
It's not the easiest pronunciation ever.
I guarantee. Stick me down for 11 variations of that between now and 8 o'clock.
Okay, right, anyway, fine enough.
Let's get stuck straight in on the more serious stuff about his actual signing, the stuff that matters. None of that nonsense. Scott is going to kick us off. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, Gordon. Happy pre-season. We have season coming up, mate.
Absolutely. What do you think of that signing? Is that one that cheers you up?
Listen, I'm just hoping for this. No, Kasper, who? Well, that kind of thing. But, no, listen, I don't think it's the money that they've spent on him. I think it's a striker. We've been screaming out for a striker since Kyogo left. And I think, obviously, you know, we've been after him since January. The radar's been on him for a long time. And he looks a decent player. So I don't think it's the money. I don't think it's because it's a record signing. It's a striker, which is going to please the Celtic fans, Gordon, to be honest.
I do agree in the fact that definitely need a striker, because your top striker, stroke winger, goes out the building, goes to Ipswich. So you need somebody to come in. I think he's probably be a typical Martin O'Neill striker for me. He's 6'1", I'm led to believe, Gordon, so they're a bit of height there as well. He's came with a big price tag. He'll be looking to you know, hit the ground running, scoring goals. It's up to Celtic. It doesn't matter what the price tag is. It doesn't matter how good a centre forward you are. It's about what the service is going to be to him, because obviously we've played there in that position, and you rely on good service and good balls into the box. And then if that happens, it's up to you to go and do the finishing touches and get your goals. And if he gets off to a good start with Celtic and gets a couple of goals early, you know what like is, you become a fan's favourite immediately. So I think just for the fact that they've signed someone, you know, we were talking last week and you're thinking, they've only got one player in the door.
But to be fair though, Killian, is that not what Scott's saying? It is actually more than that. Yeah, the fee is good and it's big and it shows intent, but actually, irrespective of the fee, this is a profile that looks pretty good for Celtic fans.
Yeah, it's an actual number nine that they've been screaming out for since Kyogo left, and I think a completely different style of player as well. Looks like he can hold it up, got good feet, can finish. Can finish on the biggest stages in the Champions League, which is probably now, going on past seasons, has been the criteria Celtic have been looking for. And like Gordon says, a lot of it will depend on also what's around him in terms of chances being created for him. But he looks like, even just like seeing his arrival video and his press and stuff, he looks like a big, confident guy. Like, he looks like he's ready to take on the price tag, being number nine for Celtic. He's taken the number nine shirt. Really excited to see how he adapts to it, and I just think he's more of a fit to the team more than probably Duran. He wasn't really a number nine that they were needing,
because there's no such thing as a guarantee, Scott. We've seen it all before, where people get excited about a signing and it doesn't work, or on the flip side, somebody you don't know much about turns out to be brilliant. So you never know. But having said that, on paper, does this look something a bit more towards a, I can't use the word guarantee, but you know what I mean, something that you really think on paper should work?
Well, Gordon, no, and sorry for my ignorance, Mr. Sheridan, hello. Gordon, hello, hope you are well. No, honestly, I think there's no guarantee in it. You and I know that. We've watched football many times, but then it's the intent, it's there, isn't it? It's an out-and-out striker. And at the end of the day, playing for Celtic or Rangers, you know, you're going to get your chances. You know, your chances are always going to be there. You have to be in the right place at the right time. And the boy looks a wee, you'll be savvy, and he knows where the goal is. So I think he's got a good start, because obviously when he was scoring against Bobo Glint, he scored a lot of goals in the Champions League last year and in the league. So he knows where the goals are, Gordon. You know, so let's just hope that, as Gordon says, you know, he bangs in early goals, if you know what I mean, you know, to settle himself down, you know. But that other boy that we got as well, he's scored three in three Parkhead starts and whatever else. He's looking good. He's looking hot, right? So my main thing was, obviously, I said to the producer, you know, obviously, I think that Celtic need to look under their noses here, Gordon. Hearts look like they're going to, right, unfortunately, because obviously coefficient, which is unfortunate. I think we should go for Braga. Get Braga, bring him in. He's wanting Champions League football, he's wanting European football. And your boy, if the Motherwell, is it Masinisi, whatever his name is, we can't pronounce his name.
Masinisi,
right. So get these guys, right, because at the end of the day, I don't think Arne Engels is going to be there for long. Hatate's wanting to leave. There's going to be more money coming in that they're going to be spending out, let's face it. So I think the two players are right under Celtic's noses, and I think we need to put an intention out pretty quickly. Obviously, the season starts on Friday, you know, but there's another 5 weeks to the window closes, is that right? So you've still got another 5 weeks to choose. Obviously, that Egyptian boy as well, that looks like, that's nearly there, it looks like. So it's slow, and we panicked it wasn't going to be like last year. But it looks like it's not going to be. So I think we should just put intent there and put your marker down straight away, because obviously Rangers have been buying, was that six or seven players they've bought already? You know, so I think it's going to be a very close season this season, to be honest with you, Gordon.
Is this a sign of how much business Celtic had to do? Because I think Scott probably does speak on behalf of, yeah, and maybe all the fans in talking about what comes next and how many more. But it's £17 million pounds now on two forwards.
And yet
everybody is saying, you know, that's, that has to just be the start of it.
There'll be more.
It's quite a big start though, financially.
There's going to be more. There's no doubt. Obviously, they're looking to get some more players out, and they're doing business getting players out. Gordon frees up the wages, bring in what transfer fees they can get for these players. This isn't the end of it. They're not just going to go and spend the 17 million on two players and think, right, we'll get through the season, we'll go and, you know, win the league with that. They'll build a strong squad under Martin O'Neill. They'll get all the backing. It is slow, and I think the Celtic fans, they get worried because of past history, the way Celtic went about their business in the transfer market and the window when it opens, and then all of a sudden leave everything late for it closing. But I think these are good positive signs for Celtic.
What was kind of torn, Killian, about, because I think we've seen in English football and elsewhere, there becomes a bit of an obsession about transfer fees. And it's not like Celtic haven't done it. Celtic didn't get £9 million worth of striking play from Adam Ida. At times it's been debated whether £11 million was too much for Arne Engels, but maybe not if they're going to now sell him on for the types of fee that was mentioned in January. So again, to kind of reiterate what we said to Scott, no guarantees and all that sort of stuff, but it does just feel like a bit of a statement, doesn't it? Because he's scored goals in the Champions League recently on quite a high stage. You add that to the big fee, the international caps, that sort of thing. It just feels like a bit of a statement in that regard.
He's kind of a little bit in between Celtic's recent kind of signing strategy in terms of signing. They've signed a lot of almost like completely unknown players at smaller values, or the higher value, it's still not a big name. Whereas you feel like because we've seen him in the Champions League scoring, doing well for Bodo Glimt over the past few seasons, and also was a player on Celtic's radar, he's kind of a little bit more than just an unknown player, I think. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't work. If he comes here and it doesn't work out, I'd be very surprised. I just think he should fit perfectly. Mm. But I agree that I think it's the start of what should be.
But see, just going on and what you're saying, Gordon, about Celtic fans will be looking, thinking, right, we've spent 17 million in two players, a lot of money. But if you look at the money they brought in the guts of maybe 16 million. So,
yeah, sure.
Their spend just now is probably 1 million quid. You know, if you balance it up, what goes out and what comes in. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they take in another 30 or 40 million. In transfers this summer.
Are you talking like Engels, Johnston?
I think they'll, yeah, sort of thing. I think they could cash in on Engels. And Alistair Johnston then, after the World Cup, I think they're would be doing fantastic to keep him.
To state the obvious, I don't want to quickly forget about Casper Hu and then move on to the next one. But you sign an impressive striker, you need somebody to create stuff for him. You know, yeah. It's often something that gets levelled at these Bodo Glimt players, that they are so good because their system is so good. Mm-hmm. We've all seen they're amazing at what they do. There's been a fairy tale story for them in recent seasons, and they all fit perfectly well within that. You have to be good, I'd imagine, to function within it as well. But you know what I mean? Sometimes strikers are only as good as what's around them.
We played there in our careers, and guaranteed, excuse me, you depended on the service you were getting, whether it was from your wingers, whether it was from midfield players that could open up defences with one pass. But as a striker, your job is basically to say, right, when it comes in the box, if it's quality, I can go and finish. And if Celtic provide that, this guy's got pedigree to put the ball in the back.
Thank you, Scott. Jamie's on the other line, a record-breaking transfer. Jamie, what do you think about that?
It's good, guys. Just to start, how he's doing, I hope everybody's well.
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
It might be a bad line. I'm actually phoning from work. I'm in the middle of the North Sea just now.
Are you fishing?
Fishing for a left back.
you sound loud and clear to me.
Right, so, 17 million, two strikers, good, brilliant bit of business, good intent. But this is where it gets frustrating, and I don't know if some Celtic fans will feel this way. For all the good that they've done, we're now looking for a left back when we didn't do enough to get Sarachi. I can't get my head around that.
Right, so, correct me if I'm wrong then, Jamie. It sounds like there's still a long way to go before you're satisfied, because that's a record-breaking transfer today, and you've basically said, yep, that's great, but, you know, what's next? Is that the way you're feeling? Is this not moving the dial for you, this amount of money, a player with this profile?
It is. But again, with the finances that our club's got, we should always be in a position of strength. every season. Like, you know, it shouldn't have just been now. It should have been when we got rid of Kyogo. We should have done all this from then. Right? I'm not saying it's too late, but there's still the frustration there. We've done all the good work. We had a decent left back in Sarachi, and all I'm saying is we're now in the market for a left back as a backup for Tierney. Yeah. Why couldn't we just give the guy what he wants? If he was asking for more money, he was a good left back and we've just let him go.
There is no doubt there's an element of catch-up here, Killian, because if you asked even the most optimistic Celtic fans, when was the last good, you know, objectively good transfer window, or how many have there been in the last X amount? I don't think the number would be particularly high. So, I mean, Jamie's right. This is maybe now Kyogo just getting addressed now, yeah, sort of thing after a few windows.
I would have thought, I felt like there was probably a bit of nervousness and anxiousness when Celtic weren't really doing anything, when Rangers seemed to be doing all their business really early. Hearts were signing players. But I feel like these signings this week should give a lot of, you'd like to think it would give a lot of Celtic fans a bit of hope and excitement that, okay, they're actually, the board are, the club is getting ready, committing to spend, sign players on 4 or 5 year deals. And it looks like there is starting to be a little bit of a plan there, and they are going out and spending money.
Does it change your thoughts on it? Let's say this time last week, what you thought about Celtic's transfer business, this one deal, does it make you kind of recalibrate how you think it's going to go? Or no, are there still major issues?
I think there's still issues. I was always confident after what happened last season, especially with Martin O'Neill being at the helm now, that they would back him and they would bring in signings. Sometimes it's difficult to get them over the line. I do agree with Jamie. I think they had a good backup or someone that could really stand in if anything happened to Tierney, or Tierney had to get into left centre back, because last year Tierney's numbers were very good. But Sarachi, I thought he was a very, very good left back. Now, we don't know. Like, I don't think it was a case of Celtic going, well, just give him whatever he wants. Maybe the deal wasn't right for Celtic. As I said to you, the one thing you've got to look at Celtic, they do get criticised, but so far, they brought in 11 million, brought that transfer record, but I've just highlighted, they brought in two players, 17 million. They got 16 million out the door.
It cost them a million, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So sometimes you've got to look at the business part of it, and yeah, Celtic fans are frustrated of what's happened in days gone by, but I think Celtic, before the transfer window closes, I think they'll have a lot of players in.
I would imagine Sarachi wanted wages similar to a starting left back, and Celtic just don't see him as a starting left back.
Thank you very much to Jamie in the North Sea. It's a good time to call if you want to carry on the Casper Who theme or move on to something else. We're here for you. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here, both waiting for you to get in touch. So let's hear from you, whether it is the transfer business, the start of the season, European qualifiers, whatever it may be. We want to hear from you. Incidentally, if you listened last night, you'll know we're giving you the chance, just in case you can't get enough football, the World Cup's gone, we're just getting back into the swing of things domestically. Wednesday, 12th of August, there's one of these glamour friendlies, as they call it, Newcastle and Everton at Murrayfield. And if you go to Clyde1.com, you can get tickets still available there, and also the chance to win a child mascot appearance for any youngsters in the family as well. But later on, we'll give you the chance to win those tickets. Now, we are reflecting on the big news today, Celtic breaking their transfer record. Here's the pronunciation, in case Gordon Dale's forgotten.
I'm Casper Who, and I'm a Celt.
Casper Who, there you go. So get your thoughts in on that one. David, first up, was a Rangers fan. How are you, David?
Good evening. Good evening, panel.
What made you call tonight, David? What are you thinking?
Well, I was just thinking about, in general, what's happening in the transfer market at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few nights ago listening, and Laurie phoned in, the Celtic supporter, and he did say that. Now, he'd every confidence that Celtic would sign quality, and then he said, we sign quality, not quantity. In many respects, I'd agree with them in that, because Rangers at the moment, I mean, are just not creating. Last year, they couldn't create for the forwards, or this year, we don't seem to have that cutting-edge midfielder, as you can do the slide pass and put your forward through, or a decent enough winger at the moment, because Ant-Man has not been particularly good. Also, Curtis has been great at Kilmarnock, but obviously he's still a young lad to put a lot on. And Gassam, I mean, he's hitting cold, more an impact player. So, I mean, I know they're going for a central defender, South African lad right now, and it looks spot on that they're going to get him. But there's nothing about that quality midfielder or quality winger. I know suggesting that maybe Chernley would come in, but I think they need more than that quality. Rather than, obviously we had to concentrate on defence and that and goalkeeper, but we really need to concentrate on providing good players that can go in, break a defence down, and give the strikers a chance, because their strikers look awful, but they get nothing. If you know what I mean. So I was wondering what the panel were thinking, I mean, in terms of that, because Rangers seem to have not bought so much quality this year rather than quantity. I know they've spent quite a lot of money, but it was on seven players, whereas Celtic, and what I find about Celtic is they do sign quality players, you know what I mean, and they either buy low and sell them at tremendous prices, or else to create these players now that are awesome. And they have still got a few injuries, Celtic, now, and they still win the league. I mean, so I'm sorry for that long one.
No, that's what we're here for. I do wonder if David speaks on behalf of quite a lot of Rangers fans, Gordon. Maybe not so much the bit about praising Celtic, but the bit about creativity being nixed. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen that a lot. If you go on social media, it feels like the number one area that the Rangers fans now want addressed is that wide area, creative midfield, chance maker, difference maker, all these phrases that you hear. Is that nixed?
100%. I thought they lacked that last year. In the wide areas, they had plenty of options, but nobody really stood up. Young Finlay Curtis, as David was quite rightly saying, went out to Kilmarnock and he was absolutely excellent. He may get an opportunity. Look, you brought in probably, in fact, we don't know yet to see how it goes with the Celtic lad coming in, Casper Hoot, and you brought in one of the best strikers in Scotland, and Shanklin, goal scorer, and a free transfer. It's a brilliant bit of business. Now, for him to get the goals, and we've touched on it earlier in the programme, you need service. There's no doubt about it. Yes, he can occasionally pick the ball up and, you know, beat a man, and he can score from 20, 25 yards. But as a striker that's going to try and baggy 20, 20 plus goals, then I think you've got to depend on service. I think Derek will address that. He has signed seven new players in. There'll be more to come in the building. I definitely think he needs a wide man, like David says, and I think he needs a midfield player that can open up defences.
There was a story on Sky this afternoon, Killian, about Coventry winger Genoa Markello. So maybe that's the one that will be next in terms of the forward areas. Olwethu Makanya from Philadelphia Union seems to be closer. He's a defender, though. Does that resonate with you, what David's saying about Rangers having done quite a bit of business but now needing creativity?
Yeah, but I think Derek McInnes would have wanted to go in, and I know Lauren Shankland is one of the first signings, but I think he probably wants to go in and build a solid foundation from the back and then build on top of that. That's usually managers' first priority when they go into a club, is to kind of be secure defensively and have that kind of structure sound in place. So you'd expect Rangers to go out and sign a few more attack-minded players. Like we're saying with, Gordon just said it there, like Casper, who is, you can have the best striker in the world. Both teams could have, you could have Haaland up front. It doesn't matter if you don't have wingers and midfielders creating chances for them. It doesn't matter who's up front. So I think, like David's saying, they're probably looking for a little bit more attacking threat, where probably more like game changers. So even just games that aren't really happening and someone's going to do something, beat a guy, which I probably feel like Rangers were missing out a little bit last season.
Overall, David, what's this amounting to? Are you concerned about the new season? Is that too far? Are you still relaxed? Are you optimistic? How would you describe it?
I'm a bit in the middle just now. It's simply because, I mean, we know that Celtic they've got an inner strength. Now, they won the league this year when they knew right to, I mean, and that was because I felt the other two teams sort of bottled it. Now, they could have won it. My fear is this year could turn out the same now, like, because no matter what you say, and I have every respect for Martin O'Neill, he's a phenomenal manager. And to get that team over the line the way he did was absolutely brilliant, the guy did. This year, I've got my first season ticket in years because now you have to wait for them. And there's just one thing I'd like to say to Gordon before I go, is that I was watching the game at Ibrox one day, and a guy passed the ball in the wing to you, and I swear to God, I've never seen anybody faster in my life running. And you got the ball before it out, the most amazing crossover for Derek Johnson to score.
Yeah.
And no wonder your hips out if you could run like that.
Yeah, keep going, David. Listen, you described that brilliantly.
Is that back
well.
When you could drink in stadiums?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was pacey. I was pacey. David's right.
My new
David's
season right. resolutions. Yeah.
Well done, David. I'm delighted for that. I'm absolutely over the moon for that.
I'm knocking it in the head. This is the season we get stricter about you bumming up your own career.
David bummed it up. I'm quite happy just to acknowledge it.
Stick to cornhole. Andrew is on the line. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, good, thank you.
What made you call tonight? What's on your mind?
Well, it's to do with the Derek McInnes four-match ban that he seems to be receiving. It was just, I remember at the end of the season when Celtic won the league, Martin O'Neill went on TalkSport with Simon Jordan, Jim White, and I think the kind of impression I got of it was that he was basically condoning the pitch invasion that happened on the day. So my point would be that if McInnes is going to receive a four-match ban for his comments on the penalty, then shouldn't O'Neill also receive some sort of punishment for his words on the pitch invasion?
I think we're probably comparing apples and oranges, isn't it? Everybody knows there's that clear rule there. Now, whether or not Derek McInnes has breached it is the bit that's up for debate, and that's the bit Rangers are going to appeal. But this is about implying incompetence or bias for match officials. I think whatever Martin O'Neill said, and Andrew won't be surprised to hear I didn't listen to it, but I was aware of it. I don't think that's like comparable. Not to say that it's okay or it's not okay. It's just an entirely different set of circumstances. It's a different topic. And yeah, I don't know about drawing the parallels. However, there has been a development on the Derek McInnes one today, in that it looks like Rangers are going to appeal it, get the appeal in before the deadline, which is at the end of the week, meaning it will be in the dugout, because obviously when the ban came out, it was the biggest takeaway from it would be that he would miss the start of the season.
Derek McInnes, I would imagine, his first game in charge of Rangers, he wants to be there in the dugout on the pitch. As a player, I've never found it made a difference to if the manager's there on the bench. If you've a manager, especially if you've a manager that's up animated, barking out orders, it's almost a bit relaxing and freeing sometimes when you know the manager's up in the stands and can't really have a go at you from like such a closer proximity. But I imagine from the manager's point of view, they want to be there, they want to feel like they're making more of an impact. But from my experience being a player on the pitch, if the manager's there or he's not, you know, technology now, they can get a message to the assistant or whoever's there instantly. The message is going to be relayed at half time. If you've had a bad game, you're going to get it.
Yeah, but it's just how the manager is. You know, I totally agree with you, but the manager, Derek McInnes...
To be fair, quickly though, Rangers, Derek McInnes primarily, because he wasn't Rangers manager back then.
Yeah.
It would be twofold, wouldn't it? They want him in the dugout, but they'll also, if just generally they feel there's a sense of injustice, then they want to... That's what the kind of core of any appeal is as well, surely.
Yeah, and I understand why Rangers are appealing it. Whether they win it or not, I don't know, but I understand why they're doing it. And plus the fact they're showing a bit of support to Derek and coming in as the Rangers manager, going to back him first and foremost. And we've got a situation now, I don't know what's going to happen, because you look at the weekend there when the St Mirren manager, Craig McLeish, comes out and has a dig at the referee who played with Dunfermline, who beat them on the day. So you just wonder what situation we're going to have here. Are they going to really stamp their authority and say, no, we're standing up to Derek McInnes and he's got his ban, and then what's Craig McLeish going to get at St Mirren? Because you can't give Derek McInnes a four-match ban with one suspended, and then you're no having hitting the St Mirren manager with a ban as well. So he's in trouble.
You have to treat them all in their individual way. Look at Elliot Watt. He's away to Turkey with a four-match ban.
Yeah,
I think he's probably for a tweet. No, he is. He's got the ban over there.
Oh, has he?
I think unless they can unless they
didn't think you carried it in the plane.
I think so, yeah.
Do you?
Someone mentioned it to me.
That's new to me.
Put it in your hand luggage.
Yeah. Put you something to declare. Yeah, I've got a 4-match match.
Imagine trying to explain that to his new teammates. He's got a communicate language barrier as it is.
Exactly.
So why can you not? Well,
I had one pass over from Kilmarnock when I went back over to Bulgaria. Missed the first European qualifiers.
What was that for?
Two yellow cards.
Having a good game.
Two yellow cards. One for kicking the ball. It was called offside. Kicked the ball into an empty stands. Yellow card. And then in the referee's eyes, he thought I simulation in the last minute to get a penalty that was contact.
And did you dive?
I'm not going to say the D word. I'm not going to say what it was.
Anyway, thank you to Andrew. 01419511025. We'll keep more of your calls flowing in and we'll go to Tynecastle soon as well.
Clyde One.
Is Make Me A Winner time. The big sums of money are continuing to flow in. £500,000 could be heading in the direction of your bank account, so don't miss out. It would be crazy to miss out on the chance. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition there. It is over 18s only though, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday. It's £500,000. What a sensational sum of money. Text yes to 61025 and it's a good luck from us.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Any Hearts fans out there, how are you feeling? What a couple of months it's been. You come within minutes of winning the title. That all ends in dramatic and controversial in your eyes circumstances. The manager goes, the captain goes, other players go. It all looks like it might still be okay because you've performed pretty well at the start of your European qualifier. All of a sudden you lose it 4-0 and you're trying to rescue it tonight. So any calls on that would be greatly appreciated. And anything else, Casper Hu, Celtic's new record-breaking signing. We mentioned Rangers just before the break, trying to do some more business as well. Derek McInnes looks set to be in the dugout on Friday, pending appeal for that ban that he received. So if any of the topics tickle your fancy, please do give us a call. I'm kicking myself. I was up in Aberdeen today, so I've not had the chance to go back home. I had a series of gifts for you that I forgot to bring in.
From America?
Well, sort of, because partly thanks to the man on your right, I was subject of a lot of social media ridicule for having Scotland training kit with my initials on it over the summer.
I would have let it go, but it was only that you highlighted it and you were...
That is true.
You were
did you jump on the bandwagon?
Oh, yeah, he was a little comment. Two-footed. But that's fine. But so I can never wear it again. I couldn't handle the public ridicule.
Am I getting your
Who's the only guy I know with the same initials?
Oh, yes.
So honestly, I thought medium, slim fit, GD. Yeah. I'd get you written all over it. And honestly, I was going to bring you in, but I went to Aberdeen early this morning, didn't go home. So Thursday night... because two things, your initials are GD, yeah, and you love free stuff.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's not changed.
Are the
over
trainers
the summer.
Coming with it?
What size are you?
What size are you? I can get them stretched at Timpsons.
You ever heard about the time he bought a shoes one size different to the other foot just because they were cheaper?
Yeah, a 9 or 10, mate.
How's that work?
There was an odd pair left in the shop. So he bought them despite the fact that one was a 9 and one was a 10.
I was about to question what kind of shop is selling odd pairs of
the shops
of runners.
No,
but they've got someone that bought them. So
the shoe was sitting outside on the stall, and I seen it, and it was a 9. I went in, the lady says, "Look, I've only got 10, but I'll give you a deal on them." So they had 1 10 and 1 9. They'd sort of mixed them up, so I got a deal on them.
Anything for a deal.
Two pair of socks on the left, one pair of socks on the right. Happy Larry. Nobody measures your feet.
01419511025. Daniel is in Portobello. How's it going, Daniel?
How's it going, Gordon? All right.
Yeah, good here, thank you. Hearts then, talk to us. What a couple of months you've had. What are you thinking?
What a start to the campaign. I mean, we'll beat Real Valencia 2-1, but that was simple. But this tonight is going to be an absolute nightmare. We've lost our players to Rangers. Three people, manager, Lawrence Shanklin, Cammy Devlin, and I think we're going to have a bottom six season this
No, year. Surely not, Daniel. You can't go from minutes of winning the title to the bottom six. No way.
That's where we're heading, I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness, I thought Glasgow specialised in pessimism.
Yeah, well, Daniel, funny enough, we got a sheet tonight to fill in to see who would win the league and finish third. I've got Hearts third. I think Hearts, yes, I totally agree that...
I've got Motherwell and Hibs above us.
Nah, oh. Well, look, I don't think you'll be in the bottom six. I know you've lost, two of your top players, let's be honest, because I thought Devlin, I know he had an injury with Shankland.
Devlin was a end-to-end midfielder, he was brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with that. You've got one of the best centre-forwards in Scottish football, there's no doubt about that. And then, obviously, you know, the manager leaves as well. And we had a caller on tonight, and I was a bit concerned, and I thought, I hope Daniel isn't listening, Portabella, because he was touting Braga to go to Celtic. And I thought, if Hearts lose another
Hearts fans couldn't handle it.
Oh, they couldn't. Oh, no, they'd be an absolute nightmare for them. But look, there's a new manager in the building. He'll have his own ideas. Apparently, yes, they're probably going to go out tonight. Of course, they are 4-0. I don't see them come back from that. But all the reports were, it was just that sort of a 9-10 minutes when everything went wrong. But apart from that, they played actually not bad and created chances. So, no, I'm not having yous in the bottom six. I know yous have lost a lot of good players in your manager, but I think yous will still be up there.
Something in the air tonight. A Hearts fan putting Hibs above them.
I know.
And then the Rangers fan praising Celtic.
It's been some start to the season. What about the...
What
about the referees out running with club gear on last night? Did you hear that? We've got off to a really promising start this season.
Did somebody say that Nick Walsh was out running with Rangers?
Indeed.
That just baffles me.
Anyway, I shouldn't have brought that up. Like I said there, I know football fans can get a bit doom and gloom, a bit pessimistic, fearing the worst. It must have been a tough time for Hearts fans. Surely to goodness, the drop-off does not see them go from... nearly winning the league to the bottom six.
I don't know. Look, there's always one of the bigger teams outside of Celtic and Rangers that always have a shocking season. I don't think it'll be Hearts. I don't think they'll finish in the top three, but I don't think it'll be...
You don't think they're top three?
No,
either.
I didn't in my predictions.
Maybe
I should have kept that a little bit guarded.
No, but
no, I didn't have them in top three.
He'd Celtic third.
Celtic at Celtic, Rangers,
Motherwell,
Aberdeen.
Wow,
yeah.
Aberdeen.
I think I know the answer to this question, Daniel. Can Hearts overturn a 4-0 deficit and progress in Europe tonight?
No chance. It'll be 7-0, 8-0.
Double down on the pessimism. Not even giving them the chance of winning the game, getting a bit of feel good factor back, even if it's not enough to go through.
I'm supporting them, but
doesn't sound like it.
I know, but you've got to support the club, don't you? But we'll see tonight.
It was a strange one last week, Gordon, because you can't hammer the point. I totally respect people who say it was 4-0, I don't really care how we played, but at the same time, if it was as simple as that, we wouldn't bother watching games. We'd just check the score at the end. You know, you have to kind of analyse and take an opinion on how it played out. And at times, Hearts played quite well, and in the first half, maybe just, what was it, a 9-minute period where things went really horrifically bad. And again, that's not an excuse, and it costs them. But do you think it would, let's say they win 2-0 tonight and still go out, do you think that matters?
Yes.
You know, can that be a big boost if that happens?
Yeah, I think so, especially at home, in front of your home crowd. And you're looking forward to the next game. The league campaign starts at the weekend. You want to get them a bit of confidence. You want to get them with positives, i.e. maybe a clean sheet tonight, a couple of goals. Yes, it's 4-0. You're never getting back from that unless it's a miracle happening, and I don't see it. But you want to get in a positive vibe at the weekend. So a clean sheet and a couple of goals tonight, and I think that Hearts will be up and running. I don't think Hearts will be far away. I think they'll still get some real decent players there.
Well, Daniel, we'll stay in touch. I want to see how your pessimism plays out over the coming weeks, but thank you for taking the time. That was Daniel in Portobello. Hopefully we'll go to Tynecastle before long and give you team news and build up to the game there, find out what the mood is, whether they're all as filled with dread as Daniel is, or maybe there is a bit more optimism inside the stadium. But for now, are you optimistic of this? Let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how the new season fully get. I understand you were both involved in a pre-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go well for you. Word reached America.
Summer friendlies don't count.
Tony Watt won the three games he played. How can you three games?
It's all about taking your chances.
It's terrible.
My last one was it was a great match. It was a great
0-0.
A great battle. 5-4 or something. Ooh. Lost in a tiebreak.
High scoring. 01419511025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next. You have to call before 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here, Killian Sheridan alongside him. Both got one thing in common, and they're waiting for you to get in touch. We're talking transfer window. Celtic have broken. They always describe it as smashed, don't they? I don't know how much you need to pass it by to smash, but they've broken their transfer record, signing Casper Hu for £11 million. Rangers look like they're closing in on more. The league season starts in a couple of days. We've got a qualifier at Tynecastle tonight. What more could you want? Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit. Roger Hanna back to winning ways last night, but I don't want this to go on too long. It is my worst fear that we get a couple of weeks into the season and we've still not had a victory for the listeners. So let's see if Mark
have you
could be changed today.
I don't think you'll go another night.
Who finished bottom of the actual table last season? Was it Simon Donnelly?
Yes.
Yeah, he was disgraceful.
He played
actually
14-1.
He was disgraceful. Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, all good. All good, lads. Thanks for taking my call.
Now, you're from Ayr. Are you an Ayr fan?
I am an Ayr fan, yes.
How old are you?
I'm 37, so...
Yeah, you'll not really remember him then.
When Gordon was here, I was, I think, primary 6 or 7. But I remember the football you played. You'd signed some great players, like Gary Teal and a striker called Glenn Hurst.
Yeah.
I'm seeing all these names, but Gordon Dale will know them better than me, obviously.
I wouldn't bet on that, given his memory, but he'll remember those two. So are we talking about you perhaps fell in love with Ayr United when he was the manager?
That happened a long time before. I'm not going to give that.
Good save. I actually do remember. Remember you, did you not bring your Ayr team and beat Motherwell at Fir Park in the Cup?
4-3.
I was in tears.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a young boy
were you not the ball boy at that time?
Maybe I.
Yeah, you were a ball boy. I remember saying to you, listen, kid.
I was trying to time waste.
Guy, get that ball back into play. We're winning here.
I don't know what's happening tonight. This week, because it was a Kelly fan last night, and we got his thoughts on the derby. So we'll do that with Mark in a few moments' time. But let's toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it is Killian Sheridan. And if it's the red side, it is Gordon Dalziel. Let's see how it goes tonight. And it is blue. For Killian, bottom of the summer table he was. You know these like glamour pre-season tournaments where they fly Liverpool and Celtic and Man United, Rangers, whoever over to America and play, and it's just not got the same pace or intensity. Yeah. But is that you?
Yeah,
is that your excuse?
Summer friendlies don't. No one cares about them results.
Well, let's back that up tonight then.
Building myself up for failure now.
Let's give Killian something else to listen to. Mark, you have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Okay, mate.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Excluding qualifiers, how many goals did Casper Hu score in the Champions League last season?
4.
Who became Rangers' record signing in November 2000?
Tony Andrews Flo.
Name the last team John McGlynn managed before Falkirk.
Pass.
By population, what's the largest town in Scotland without an SPFL side?
Edinburgh.
How many different teams has Derek McInnes managed to a league title?
To win a league title?
Yeah, just any league title, yep.
None.
Okay, let's bring back Killian Sheridan. Can you hear us? What's your face for?
Yeah. Shouldn't like that laugh, is that?
I think you're...
They're difficult tonight.
Yeah, okay. But you need to think about them.
Well, that's generally a good tactic. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Excluding qualifiers, how many goals did Casper Hu score in the Champions League last season?
9.
Who became Rangers' record signing in November 2000?
Chermiti.
Name the last the last team John McGlynn managed before Falkirk.
Raith Rovers.
By population, what's the largest town in Scotland without an SPFL side?
Brecon.
How many different teams has Derek McInnes managed to a league title?
One.
What's the verdict, Mark?
I think the when you asked for town, I've said Edinburgh.
That was not a vintage answer.
Town without an SPL team.
SPFL.
SPFL team.
That's there's absolutely no chance I would have got that.
I'll get to that one. Let's go through them. Excluding qualifiers, how many goals did Casper Hu score in last season's Champions League? It was five. You get one in qualifying. Double Man City, Atletico, Inter and Sporting. So five. None of you got it right. Rangers record signing in November 2000,
12 million
26 years ago.
It was Tori Andre Flo, obviously.
Yes, it was not Chermiti. It was Tori Andre Flo. And Mark got it. He was 1-0 in front. The last team John McGlynn managed before Falkirk was Raith Rovers. What did you say again, Mark?
Pass.
Yeah, Killian got it and equalised. This question has just given me the fear. I know the producers are trying to keep me in my toes just back after the summer holidays, make sure we're not slacking. I think we're guaranteed some sort of steward's inquiry over this. Somebody is going to debate the population and where the boundary is and whether it's the greater area of this town. And to add another layer of complexity, they used to have an SPFL side. It's Cumbernauld, apparently. So Clyde don't play there anymore. They've got
But Hamilton play there.
No, they're not. They're back at Hamilton, are they not?
Are they back there?
Oh, honestly, right, this is what I'm saying.
They could be. Back. I think Hamilton
they're
could
back
be
at
back.
Hamilton. So apparently, don't shoot the messenger. There's a 50,000 population in Cumbernauld. They don't have an SPFL team. Coatbridge don't either. It's a bit of a Lanarkshire theme.
Coatbridge?
Yeah.
Oh, because Albion Rovers are in
the. Yeah. Orglen Rothes. There you go. Things you never needed to know. None of you got it right, unsurprisingly. How many different teams has Derek McInnes managed to a league title? I tried to almost nudge you, Mark, and say it is any league title.
Kilmarnock
and St Johnston.
St Johnston.
Yeah, Championship.
It's two, so we are going.
I was thinking of St Johnston and forgot
exactly.
Our
first
pillow fight
tiebreaker of the new season. Let's do it.
That was a good game, then.
Okay, this is actually quite straightforward. So I'm going to really, really stress a quick answer on this, Mark. Sorry, I'll get Killian to write his answer down first. How many combined Euros and World Cups has the Scotland men's team qualified for? How many combined Euros and World Cups has the Scotland men's team qualified for? Write it down, please. Oh, what are you going for, Mark? Quick.
Seven.
Oh, Killian's gone six. Mark has gone seven.
Not more than six.
Ye of little faith. It's 13 Euros and World Cups. So
and
Mark,
World Cups.
It was not great, but you have won. Beat the pundit nevertheless. Well done, Mark.
Thanks very much, lads. I'm buzzing with that. It was an absolute shocker of a game. But
you did say, Gordon Dale, we wouldn't need to wait long into the new season.
The minute it went blue, I was so confident we were losing a ball or a coin.
Mark, are you going for the sign ball or the beat the pundit coin?
I'll take the sign ball, please.
Do you know what's good? And I'm almost certain we haven't. I'm sure they had a proud business model before we came on the scene. But I like to tell myself arrogantly that we've played a part. Because see now, I've started noticing Zenith coins popping up with different. Somebody had someone showed me a Rangers one the other day. I saw them somewhere else. I think it was like a team was presenting it before the game or something.
It'd be a lovely ball marker.
No, it's too big, isn't it?
No, see,
you put that down, it's a gimme.
He tried to get that at the start. I think it's far too big.
But guy, like, see when guys use the poker chips, same size.
I think that's it's massive. Look at it. You couldn't have your ball bump over the top of that thing. It got off the green. If I ever told you about one of the first times I played golf with this guy, and he's a disgrace because now he's got all the gear. He's got the trot. By the way, you should give me some of that because
I've got the new remote one.
You can't even play.
I know.
Anyway, he's got all the trolleys and the clubs and he's always changing it in the gear. When he played golf years ago, then kind of let it lapse. And one summer I said, come on, we'll play golf, get back into it. And he turned up with a Nike round neck t-shirt on. So he didn't even have the collar, controversial in some places. It was roasting hot. He rolled the sleeves up to make it look like a tank top. And to cap it all off, At one point he was lining up a putt and I could see the sun glistening, and I thought, what's that? He was marking his ball with a sleeve of paracetamol. He whipped out his pocket and laid on the green. So he's
living old days. Old days were the best.
His standards have gone up. But anyway, right, Mark, before we let you go, congratulations on your win. What are you thinking about this Ayrshire derby that we've got in the League Cup?
Oh, I've been buzzing, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I say, it doesn't come around very often. The only chance Ayr will get to play Kilmarnock is in the League Cup or Scottish Cup, or sometimes they used to do friendlies in the kind of close season. So it's not one that comes along very often. I'd have preferred it to be at Somerset Park, obviously, because I think it's a better atmosphere. But I've got no doubt it'll be a full house at Rugby Park as well. So now I'm really looking forward to it. And the way that Ayr have started the kind of League Cup campaign, the confidence is high, and I'm sure the Gary Reese, I think he's already looking to bring in another couple of new faces as well. So everything is positive from an Ayr point of view. Just going to look forward to it and enjoy it and hopefully get a win.
I think that's what clearly drives that derby, isn't it? You know it, Gordon. It doesn't happen very often.
No.
Not to say that the rest are watered down as a result, but just like anything, there's a novelty factor. If you're meeting four times in the league, maybe again in the cup, you're used to it, but it feels like every now and then the Ayrshire one rolls around and everybody
I remember my first one. Obviously I'd been involved in Rangers Celtic derbies, but I remember my first one as a manager, and for the week to the build up to it, everybody was talking about, we don't care if we never win another game, beat Kilmarnock, right? And I'm thinking, surely it's not that big. And I'll tell you, funny enough, as Mark said, my first one was at Somerset and it was absolutely packed out. The atmosphere, brilliant. So I was involved in three, won three, and I never lost a goal at Kilmarnock.
There you go. Could you win the championship this season, Mark?
I think, just being realistic after being an Ayr fan for so many years, we always start off great in the last two or three seasons, but the strength and depth kind of tells towards kind of Christmas time. But the one thing I'm pleased with is Gary Smith, he signed a good few players in the league below, a couple from his own club that he knows, and more importantly, lads, they've played pretty much all the games last season, so that shows that they've got a bit of kind of robustness about them. We've signed players been far too injury prone, so he's got a good spine of the team. And I like Harry Stone coming in loan from Hearts. He's a really good young goalkeeper as well, so I'm going to keep my feet in the ground. I'd like to definitely think we'd make the playoffs.
Surely the playoffs. Come on, aim higher than that.
I think they'll be there or thereabouts.
You two, I need some statements from you. I need some big opinions. You've both got your sheet in front of you. You were asked your predictions.
Yeah.
Who did you write down to win the championship?
I'm going with Mull Mucker. I'm going with Mark. I think last year they had
That's a shame. Big Marv was sitting in the house, thought that you were building up to him there. He said you're Mucker. He's in the championship as well.
I think for Big Marv this season, it'll just be keep yourself in there. Championship's difficult to go.
So you're going Thistle to win.
You look at Neil Lennon. Neil Lennon will get some money at Dunfermline, won't they? They'll be a threat. Ayr will be a threat. I just think that, you know, Mark last year, very unlucky. So Mark and Alec, I'm going to stick with him.
I've gone Dunfermline, for what it's worth. But I think Ayr this season will put up more of a challenge than they have previous years. And they'll probably
They'll be in the top four.
Okay, thank you very much to Mark. Victory on Beat the Pundit in an Ayrshire derby to look forward to. All the best to Mark and Ayr. Let's go back to the capital. I think we can now cross live to Tynecastle, where Andrew McLean, I feel guilty for kicking him out the studio just when the weather's turned rubbish. He's been stuck in here all summer when it's been glorious. But Andrew, you do have a very interesting game to watch tonight.
Yeah, I do indeed. A bit of a rainy drive along the M8, but it should be a good occasion here at Tynecastle. The Champions League at Tynecastle. It's something the supporters have been dreaming about since that near miss in the Premiership at the end of last season. The shine may be slightly taken off it, just given the first leg result, a 9-minute collapse contributing to that 4-0 defeat to Sturm Graz in Austria. Any comeback, anyone would say, looks extremely unlikely. But a new manager in Wouter Franken, a new style of play, plenty of players to replace some of those big departing names that you guys were mentioning early on, and just some fresh hope from supporters that they can mount another challenge this season, because I'd say the general atmosphere here is a lot more optimistic than the caller Daniel that you had on before the news.
Wouldn't be hard, to be fair.
Yeah, that is very true. They'll be hoping as well that they can make an impact in Europe, whatever that looks like. You think getting to a league phase of one of the competitions is the big thing. Look, of course, the Champions League looks very far-fetched now, but the Europa League, still a possibility. The Conference League, still a possibility. They're not guaranteed league phase football. Hearts will need to win one tie along the way. They, of course, if they lose this, they'll drop in to the Europa League. If they lose that, they drop into the Conference League, which is one win of one tie will mean they are then guaranteed league phase football. As for the team news, three changes from last week. It's Birch Grevink, McCart and Kabore that drop out, Altena, Kingsley and Gwendouz that come in. So Alexander Shvalov is playing, and it will be, I think, his final match before he goes over to the Bundesliga. He has decided that he has to return home, so this will be his Tynecastle farewell. It's going to be a back four of Jordi Altena, Malachi Fagan Walcott, Stephen Kingsley and Harry Milne. Across the midfield, it'll be Calvin Miller, Oisin McEntee, Blair Spittle and Alexandros Kizaridis, with Sabri Gwendouz in behind Claudio Braga, who was the top player in Scotland last season. The substitutes: Clark, Fulton, McCart, Kabore, Reynolds, Finlay, Wilson, Magnussen, Kurjota and Bassi. Not many familiar names in that Sturm Graz lineup, but they showed their danger in the final third last week, and all four of their goal scorers start at Tynecastle tonight. Kickoff is at 7:45.
Well delivered by Andrew, but Dave Galloway always gives us the full away team,
yeah,
and their subs, so
I know.
Just saying.
And thank officials.
Thank you very much to Andrew. Any chance that the Arps
no.
can... Okay, great.
No, absolutely no chance.
No chance whatsoever.
Nah, sorry.
That's fine. That would be a brave man to predict that. But it's going to be an interesting one anyway, because you never know. Maybe Hearts can do something on the night, get that feel-good factor going, kick off the Premiership season against Aberdeen at the weekend as well. So thanks again to Andrew. Anything else you need to know in the build-up to that game or in the early stages of it, we will bring you. Hearts fans, let's hear from you. You can't possibly be as pessimistic as the last guy we had on. So if you want to improve the positivity levels, give us a call, and we're going to talk about Celtic's new signing in a bit more detail when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan is here along with Gordon Dalziel. We're building up to kick off at Tynecastle. It's a long road back for Hearts to try and progress through this tie. We've had Celtic's transfer record broken today. We've got Rangers closing in on some new targets, Derek McInnes appealing his ban, and we'll be in the dugout by the looks of it on Friday. So many stories as we build up to kick off in the new Scottish League season. Just before we go any further, let me bring you to this question.
Go on.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Keep the teasers coming, please. The email address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. If you have just discovered the madness here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard and you're not familiar with what we do at this stage of the evening, you send the questions in to us and the pundits try and answer your questions. So it's a bit of good fun that Charlie in Hurlford has come up with tonight on the email. I think you'll like this one. Can you name the seven players who have won the World Cup, the Euros or the equivalent if they're from a different continent,
yeah,
the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or? These guys have pretty much completed football, says Charlie in Hurlford. Can you name seven players who've won the World Cup, the Euros or continental equivalent, the Champions League / European Cup and the Ballon d'Or? That's not a bad CV.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you being the fastest player that caller had ever seen at Ibrox is looking like a slightly smaller.
I'm going to go Zidane.
Zinedine Zidane won the World Cup with France.
Yeah.
Won the Ballon d'Or off the back of it.
Yeah.
Champions League with Real Madrid.
Yeah.
The Euros with France.
Yeah.
Done. Well done, Zinedine Zidane. Any others to kick us
off? Dembele.
No.
Mate, you had one job. There'll be an Italian in there. Baldini.
No. What's Dembele like? He's not actually won the Ballon d'Or yet, has he?
Yeah, he just won it.
Oh, he won it.
Just won
He's
it.
Not won the. He didn't win the Euros. Sorry, that's the Euros. Yep.
Euro.
Knew there was one.
Seven.
That's
Cannavaro.
Nope. He'll be missing the Euros as well, probably.
Let's go down the France route. There'll be a few in there.
A few.
Yeah. Well, maybe another.
How are you going to manage that? There can't be a few, because they won't all have won the Ballon d'Or if Zidane's won it, you know?
Mm. Are they all well by round about the Sedan area?
Nah, there's a fair spread, I would say.
Cruyff?
Nope. There's a couple in your era, Gordon Deal.
Yeah, I'm thinking Italy. I don't know what it is about Italy.
Nah, forget Italy.
Well, Spanish. Spanish. Say no more. Right.
Unfortunately, the name of the game, you're going to have to say more.
Right, okay. There's a Spanish one
the
in
Ballon
there.
The Ballon d'Ors. Rodri.
Rodri. Rodri. He's the one that sees the most recent. He's only on this list by a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Man City, Spain, etc, etc. Ballon d'Or. Well done. That's a good start, actually. Right. It's a good question. You like that one?
I do. It's a thinker.
Charlie and Hurlford. So we're looking for 7 players who've won the World Cup, the Euros or continental equivalent, the Champions League, European Cup, and the Ballon d'Or. What a CV. You can play along at home, and more importantly, make sure you send the questions in for future shows. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. Michael is on the line next. How are you, Michael?
I know bad regarding yourself, mate. I know bad. I've just said to your producer that I'm not at the moment as I speak. I've got a Sunday team I run, so
pre-season?
Yes, pre-season. I've started pre-season. Yes.
Are you one of these tough taskmasters? What do you put the team through in pre-season?
Just a light training sessions, mate. Just a game. Browsing in a game, and that's it, mate. Not much. The weather's not the best, but I'm on it.
So game's gone, like, Gordon. This guy's fair Dross, and they shove them up and down the beach.
Honestly, the first thing I looked at a Dross, and I'm thinking, tailor made.
The beach is actually, that's the next step, Gordon, but it's too early for that.
Swimming in the sea and all sorts.
Yeah. Are you just building it up, Michael? Is that what you're saying?
I'm
going to
right now.
Right, well, we'll not keep him if he's on his way. Michael, what do you make of Celtic's new signing?
As I said to your producer earlier when I called, I'm actually really happy with him. I watched him last season in the Champions League against Man City and against Pure Off last season. I thought it was really impressive, the boy.
How far does this go to sort of pleasing the Celtic fans generally about the transfer business? Because there's obviously been a lot of criticism. But if you like the profile of the player and you acknowledge that it's the biggest fee Celtic have ever played, is that a bit of a statement, or is there still too much work to be done for you to think of it that way?
No, that's a statement. Obviously, I'm happy with the signing. It's a big statement for the club, but we need more signings in the building, to be honest with you, because we're not getting enough. As one of your previous callers said there, we need a left back. Obviously, Saracchi was a poor. We should get Saracchi in the door as soon as we could have.
Do you think the striking department's been a bit of an issue in recent windows when you look at some of the players that have come and gone? It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Thank you very much to Michael for giving us his thoughts. Enjoy training, Michael. Work the boys hard. Eyes away. Brilliant. Thank you very much to Michael and Ardrossan. Let's give you a bit of a detailed insight. I'm not saying that Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dale are lacking in their Norwegian football knowledge, but maybe they're busy summer and not being able to do the deep dive that you require out there. Peter, however, on the line, is a Norwegian football expert, and he joins us now. How are you, Peter?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
We have been working on our pronunciations, Peter. We've got the man himself who said today it is Kasper Huu, and we're trying our best to pronounce it properly. So let's hope that we've done that to your satisfaction. What type of player are Celtic getting?
Well, first and foremost, perfect pronunciation, 100%
spot
on. Well, he's a goal scorer, but not only that. As he said himself in the interview, he also likes to help the team and make his teammates better. And that is one of the main reasons why he's been so popular and so much relied on by his coach, because there has been some periods where it has been a lot of goal drought and goals disallowed by VAR, and some kind of off periods. But because he is so great with the link-up play and such good relation player, that he was always the number one choice. And of course, if he gets on the good side with his teammates, which I'm pretty sure that he will, because he is such a good footballer with a lot of football knowledge, and of course Celtic will be massive favourites in most games that they play, so they will have an offensive style of play, and the striker will always be important for a team like Celtic. So I'm guessing it will be a success.
I think this signing's a bit different, Peter. Quite often when Celtic have signed players in recent seasons, maybe fans haven't seen much of them before, but as the previous caller who you maybe heard the end of alluded to, there was a lot of goals scored in the Champions League last season, broadcast and television here, everybody saw them. Tell us a bit more about perhaps the style then, for people who didn't see those games. What's the style? What type of player are Celtic fans going to get?
Well, he's a pretty big number nine, and he likes to use his body. He can be a player that holds the ball and gets his team higher on the pitch. But of course, he is a striker. He is a number nine. He loves to be in the opposition box. He likes to get fed by the wingers. He has some improvement to do with timing his runs, because as I said in the previous answer, there was a peculiar situation in 2025 when he got four goals disallowed in one half by the VAR because of narrow offsides. So, of course, we Norwegians are very used to see Erling Haaland timing his runs to perfection, while we have used Kasper Høeg as the complete opposite. So that's the main thing that he needs to improve. He needs to be more effective and time his run in behind. But he is a very versatile player. He's good on the ball with his feet. He can head the ball. He has a good shot. He is okay in distributing the ball. But overall, you're getting a very, very good player. Of course, not Henrik Larsson type of goal scorer, because no one is that. But better than what you already have now. Despite, I've noticed that your also new striker Duran has scored in three of the first four training games. But of course, Kasper Høeg is a proven player. One thing is that he scored a lot of goals in the Champions League, but he was also the top scorer in the Europa League in the previous season. So he has proven himself not only in Norwegian league but also in the European League, and he also got his debut with a goal on the national team in March. So he's a player with a lot of self-confidence.
How important are the relationships in the way that he does integrate in a team or in a system? Because Celtic fans are still looking for maybe more wingers to be signed or more midfielders. And I've heard it said before that Bodø/Glimt's system brings the best out in players, and maybe it's not so easy to then move on and replicate that form elsewhere. Is that fair? Is there any truth in that?
Yeah, there is, and it's a very valid point, because if you look at the players in the Bodø/Glimt squad, then a lot of them has tried their luck in the bigger leagues. The best example is Patrick Berg, who were phenomenal in Bodø/Glimt, and then he was sold to Lens in France, and he almost didn't play at all. And then he came back to Bodø/Glimt and were the captain and the playmaker, and also one of their relevation players in the World Cup now. And you have a lot of those. You have Jens Petter Hauge, you have Håkon Evjen. A lot of the players who has been good in Bodø/Glimt have struggled to be good elsewhere because the system is so set. But I think the position, which is less important in that manner, is the player who is at the front of the system, because his main goal is just to put the ball in the net. And I guess even though Bodø/Glimt and Celtic have a different way of playing, their strikers' role and the strikers' linked up play and the necessity of being in the box are quite similar. So I would have been a little bit more precautious and aware of that possible downside of the transfer if it was a central midfielder or a right back or a box to box midfielder, but not that much when it comes to a pure striker.
Is he a player that sort of comes alive in the box, Peter? Because we've all been wondering if Celtic's attack will probably look different this season, because I don't know how much you're aware of him, but Daizen Maeda is the player that left. He was all about what he did off the ball. He was a pressing machine, and that really set the tone for Celtic. He's gone. Is this a player that really comes alive and is more of a kind of traditional penalty box striker?
I'm not quite sure, really, because like I said, and as you mentioned as well, Bodø/Glimt have a very strict way of playing. They play like they play, even though they are playing Atletico Madrid away mm-hmm. or Hønefoss at home. They very much rely on their style of play. And I guess that Celtic, especially in the Scottish Premiership, will play like they normally do. Nevertheless, if it's Aberdeen or Hearts or Rangers or whatever type of opponent, they like to play as they do because they see themselves as number one. So why should they take precaution of what the mm-hmm. opponents are doing? We are number one. We are the ones who are setting the tone as well. But of course, football is also what you do off the ball. And Kasper Høeg is a decent striker off the ball, but he's not like a pressing machine or the one that set the tone. But he can, of course, be one of them. But he is, I would rate him 90% as an on-the-ball player and 10% yeah. off the ball.
He seems like quite a big character, if that's the right word, Peter. Big personality. I'm basing this on social media, amongst other things. Is that fair? Or Celtic getting a big sort of personality coming to Glasgow as well?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because when he first signed for his first Norwegian club, Stabæk, he was a social media magnet. He was all over the place in interviews and quotes. And he came like a playboy, a Danish playboy, coming to Norway, chasing girls, etc. But when he moved to Bodø/Glimt, his personality, at least in the media, changed. I don't know if he became very Christian up there or if he was that in the first place but didn't show it. But as he has been growing older, he has been like praying and thanking God for his success and said a lot of normal things in media, playing his character down, his personality down. I don't know if that was the club, Bodø/Glimt, telling him to do that or if he changed personality and that will sort of light up or fire up again moving to Scotland. I'm very curious about how he will be in interviews and off the pitch because the way he came into Norwegian football and the way he leaves Norwegian football is like two different personalities.
On that note, I saw your eyes light up at some of that description, Gordon DL, and if you think I'm going to ask your opinion on it, you are wrong. But thank you very much to Peter for giving us the inside scoop on Celtic's new striker. And it is going to be interesting, Killian, to see how it all does pan out, because we mentioned the Daizen Maeda era is over. It had to end at some point. He was never going to be replaced like for like, because I don't really know if there are others like him in that exact mould. So even stylistically, although we're fascinated by Kasper Høeg individually and whether he's good or whether he's not, Celtic's attack will presumably look slightly different this season.
Yeah, and you would imagine for Celtic to get the full value, if they're going to spend £11 million on a player, for them to get the full value of it, they probably know they need to invest a little bit in the attacking sense in terms of maybe one or two wingers or a 10 or something to actually get the full value of him as a striker. He sounds like a character. He sounds like he's ready to come in and take on the pressure of being Celtic's number nine.
0141 951 1025. What did you make of that? Does any of that impress you or concern you or anywhere in the middle? Celtic fans, you tell us. Let us know if you can. How is that teaser going, you two?
Yeah, I've got one.
Seven players who've completed football. They've won the World Cup, the Euros or continental equivalent, which should give you a clue, the Champions League, European Cup and the Ballon d'Or. You've got Rodri
So continental equivalent would be Copa America.
Correct.
You've got
Zinedine Zidane and Rodri so far.
Platini must be one.
No. So Messi.
Won the World Cup.
Messi.
You ever heard of Messi? Is that a good place to start now?
Yeah, but I was ruling Argentina out until you read out the question properly.
I said continental equivalent about five times.
I don't think you did.
What continental means.
Ronaldinho.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's leave it there because you're now doing pretty well now that you've finally listened to the question. You've got three to get. Thanks again to Charlie in Hurlford for sending it in. Now, I did tell you earlier on There's one of these glamour friendlies when the English clubs come up and play a game north of the border and get a different audience in. Well, it's at Murrayfield Wednesday the 12th of August. Newcastle, Everton, some of the Glasgow sides have got a bit of a connection if you think of the players that maybe link the clubs. Well, we are giving you the chance to win some tickets for that one as well. All you have to do is connect one of the teams in the friendly to one of our teams. So tell us, simple question, who joined Everton from Rangers in January 2022? Who joined Everton from Rangers in January 2022? Entrant needs to be over 18, but you can take a youngster with you. T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Lines close, end of this break. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Already on the home straight into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for more calls. We'll keep an eye on the opening stages of the Hearts game as well. If you are calling for the tickets to Everton Newcastle friendly at Murrayfield, thank you for trying to take part. The lines are now closed. You can give it a go tomorrow night. With that in mind, let's try and give some tickets away, because Newcastle Everton coming up here to Murrayfield, and we've got David and Carntyne on the line. How are you, David?
Hi, no bad, buddy.
All you had to do, David, was tell us who joined Everton from Rangers in January 2022. Who do you think it was?
Nathan Patterson.
It was Nathan Patterson. Easy as that. So you're off to the game, David. Easy work. Happy with that?
Aye, cheers. Thank you very
good
much.
Good stuff. And the rest of you, if you want to head over to Clyde1.com, you can also find the chance to win a child mascot experience for your young ones as well. Is Rangers your team, David?
That is, yeah.
What are you making of the old transfer business?
It's a wee bit quiet, I know, but a couple of wingers and I'll be happy with that.
Is that the area with a caller earlier talking about, you know, kind of attacking and creativity? Is that quite obviously now the area that the Rangers fans want to see?
Aye, well, the midfield looks solid, strikers are solid, got a new defender coming in, so a couple of wingers and I think we're sorted.
Quite a lot of that central midfield area, Gordon, because they've added a couple already to sort of Raskin and Diomande and Chukwuane and Barron and all who were already there. You expect those numbers to be freed up in any way?
Yeah.
Or, yeah?
Yeah, I think they'll be looking to cash in and Raskin.
You think so? You don't think he stays?
No.
Because I've seen a school of thought out there that Derek McInnes might be holding off announcing a captain because it's going to be Raskin when he comes back, no?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But I think that, obviously, with the World Cup and everything, the amount of midfield players that they've got at their disposal in there, he's the one that's got the value into it, the most value just now. So I think if someone came calling, put the right price in, I think he'd be on his way up.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's probably also waiting to see how, because it's quite a big call to just make a new signing into a squad, the club captain.
Especially so a club like Rangers.
Yeah, so he might be waiting.
But so if it's not Raskin, though, it's kind of going to have to be that, isn't it?
Like, yeah, but I mean,
Daniel, Shankland, Godfrey's worn it. Who else? They'd be the main three.
Yeah. But he's got.
It can't be Godfrey.
No, he's got
another. No, he just wore it first, didn't he? Okay. But I think Daniel and Shankland.
I would imagine you'd want to wait, see how new guys are around the squad, see how they are, how the players take to him. Last thing you want to do is appoint the captain before he's even come in and got to know the rest of the squad, and then you think, maybe the guys aren't really having him too much.
We mentioned Genoa Markelo Gordon, who was the winger from Coventry. David said wingers. The previous caller said wingers. Everywhere you look on social media, sometimes a new manager, a new voice, a year experience in a league or in a country with it. Is there any chance Kasama or Antman have a flying season?
There's every chance, because we've seen it before. You know, a new manager comes in, maybe he just asks them to play a different way, and they find that they work better under a new manager, they work better under a system. If I was looking at Rangers just now, I think obviously change of goalkeeper, defensive, they've got lots of options up front as well, midfield, they're packed with midfielders. I do think they need a bit more quality in the wide areas, I've got to be honest. And, somebody could come out this season and surprise us. But I think Derek will have looked at the situation, and I think that will be his target, to get a bit of quality in the wide areas to obviously get the service for your centre-forwards, because they've certainly got enough quality up front to score goals.
You got a favourite for captain, David?
I would go Shankland for me. Yeah. It's got to be, he supports the club, he knows what it means to the club, so
going to be interesting. I'm in bad company tonight to suggest the theory that strikers are not good captains.
Well, you two are just. Well, I was a leader of men to cup finals and one cup finals.
I'm trying to genuinely think seriously and analytically about that. Do you think they gave you it just to like
keep me quiet,
shut you up, keep you, give you something to do?
I think there could be every possibility to that. But I'll tell you what a masterstroke it was. That.
But no, closest I came was being part of the leadership group.
At what club?
At Ammonia in Cyprus. Never the got leadership above group. Leadership
what
group.
You
yeah.
leadership
oh, that's all the modern way now, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
How many? How many were in the group?
I think four of us. Four of us, but there was really only one leader in it.
You were the main man. What was the language barrier?
I was the leader for the English speakers.
Okay. I see that, a multinational approach.
I like it. I was the captain for the full club and the English speakers.
They wouldn't have had a leadership back in your day. It's a very modern day phenomenon, I suspect. Thank you to David and Carntyne. Well done on winning the tickets as well. I don't know. Do we generally make...
Too much of it?
I don't know. Do we make too much of... Or are Celtic and Rangers then maybe a bit of an exception to that? Because you look at recent, it's not like it chops and changes a lot in recent times. James Tavernier's been there for, he was there for 10 years, he was captain for most of it. Callum McGregor's done it for a while, and before that it was Scott Brown for a long time. You know, we've not recently had much change in those departments. We've certainly not had any, you know, new signings come in and take it, as may well be the case at Rangers.
See, I think that's a big thing, because Tavernier had it for so long, right? If you're a Rangers player just now and you're thinking, right, I've just come into the club, do you really want the added pressure of the captaincy? Because Tavernier's numbers, let's be honest, were magnificent, right?
Is it a privilege, does the privilege over, yeah, can it override that?
Yeah, we get calls constantly going, Tavernier's never a Rangers captain. His numbers were incredible.
See what I mean, though?
Yeah, it's probably the best thing to have. See, when the clubs like that are doing well, and you're the captain of the club, it's probably the best job in the world.
The worst.
But the flip side, it's the worst. And that's probably where the importance of who's the club captain.
But this is probably bigger than just an armband, though, isn't it? Because how blatantly obvious is it, even if they hadn't spoken publicly, which I think they have at times, how blatantly obvious is it that Rangers feel they had a leadership issue? I mean, look at, you mentioned leadership group. James Tavernier was the head of it. Jack Butland was in it. John Souter was in it. He's been bombed. Jack Butland's gone. James Tavernier's gone. It's clearly something that Rangers, probably from the top of the club, and I think Andrew Cavanagh had spoken about it previously, really wanted to address this season. Now, the headline of that is who wears the armband on the pitch, but it's more than that, isn't it not?
Yeah, I think you can kind of tell from Derek McInnes's early signings so far, are guys who, I hate using that, the term of, like, they get it, what it means to be at clubs like that. But it looks like he has started going down that route, as if that's the, like, that has been the main issue that needs to be fixed as soon as possible.
We won't have long to wait, will we? Because whoever leads him out on Friday night will probably be the man picked to do the job. So it'll be interesting to see who's at the front of the queue.
You even told me that, in your words, the Serbian boy that you saw today, you saw him in person. You were surprised at how young and fresh-faced he was looking.
I could not believe. I was in getting my car sorted today, and he walked by me, obviously knew who I was, and one of the car salesmen actually says to me who it was, and I looked at him.
But even he was captain previously as well.
Yeah, and he's only 20 years of age. And I thought to myself, my God, they're getting younger, and he looked like a kid just out of school.
I'm getting older. I think that's...
Yeah. The other thing is, clubs in that part of the world, they'll have young captains just to boost the transfer value.
That's a good point, you cynic. Right, I think we're nearly there, actually, looking at that clock. No goals yet. No, 7 minutes gone. Hearts nil, Sturm Graz nil. An early goal just maybe would shake things up for Hearts. But on the teaser, how are you faring? It's a really good question, this. We're looking for the 7 players who've won the World Cup, the Euros or their continental equivalent, the Champions League, European Cup, and the Ballon d'Or. It is some list. Rodri, Messi, Ronaldinho, Zidane. 3 to get.
Kaká.
No, never won the Copa America, I don't think.
Or 9.
No. But no. The only other Brazilian you've probably not mentioned of that kind of era.
Rivaldo.
Yep. Okay.
Did Romario know him?
No. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Muller.
Gerd Muller.
You once claimed on this show that Gerd Muller was your favourite player of all time.
Yeah.
He did. He said it was his favourite player of all time, and I doubted it.
Oh, Gerd
Muller.
And
there you go. You can't even tell me that.
I was going to go Franz Beckenbauer as well.
Oh, you should have, because he's the other one.
Is he?
Gerd Muller and Franz Beckenbauer.
Oh,
Germany and Bayern Munich. Thank you, Gordon DL. He's off to brush up on his cornhole. Killian Sheridan, thank you as well. We are back tomorrow. Let's see what happens with Hearts tonight. Let's see what tomorrow brings in the transfer window. And we'll be one day closer to the start of the new league season as well. So 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll speak to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.